Thanks for listening to Shift Your Spirits. I'm Slade Robertson. For 12 years, I've been a professional intuitive and personal development blogger. I try to talk about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. It is Sunday, September 16th, 2018, as I record this introduction. This week, I have an interview with astrologer Dina DeCastro about past lives and karmic patterns in your birth chart. And for the record, if you're interested in astrology, it is emerging as a theme this season. We have at least two other episodes on astrology coming up in the next few months. As you'll hear in just a few minutes, I definitely found a kindred spirit in Dina. This was the first time we ever spoke beyond email. One of the things that drew me to Dina's work is this particular niche of astrology she does around the nodes and what it can tell you about your ongoing karmic life lessons and also your life purpose. Now, I don't usually ask anyone to do a reading on the spot in the middle of the interview, but Dina was game, and just by telling her my north node is in Pisces, she was able to give me an awfully accurate reading of what some of my biggest issues are. And the cool thing is, you guys will hear it and know how accurate she is. Dina only recently discovered me, but you've been listening to the show for a while and you've heard me talk about a lot of these things. It'll give you a real sense of what it could be like to have a reading with Dina yourself. Now, what she taught me in the moment in this interview really renewed my excitement for astrology, and it's all stuff you can access and learn also right here on this episode. So I'm very excited for you to hear that. That's coming up in just a few minutes. As always, there's an oracle segment at the end of the show, so be thinking about a question or a concern you have. Hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra channeled message. In personal news, I'm going to keep the personal news a little short this week so that we can get to the interview. In Shift Your Spirits community news, our Facebook group has launched. It is officially open. And in this first week, at the time of this recording, we already have 300 members. A lot of people have written to me about how much they love this group and they appreciate us creating this space for them. A few people are coming back to Facebook just to be on this group. It's your group. It's not for me to make a bunch of content. I'm the host, and I'm putting my podcast in there as conversation starters and introducing you to some of the interview guests who are also there so that you can interact and talk to them. The moderators and admins of the group are Automatic Intuition alumni, and I could not make this group happen without all of them, and it would not even exist without all of you creating the content through your personal stories and conversations. So I just want to invite you, you know, don't hang back. This isn't a classroom where you're like waiting for me to talk and then raising your hand and asking a question. If you have an idea for something, maybe you've thought about doing it for a while on social media, starting a group of your own, or maybe doing some kind of focused Instagram campaign or something. I don't know. Say, for example, you've thought for a while about pulling a weekly tarot card and doing a short reading for everyone collectively. That would be a really cool thing to do in this group. Like, pick a day of the week and do it every week on that same day and let people come to expect that and look forward to it and interact with it. These are the kind of ideas that you might, you know, start a blog or a newsletter around. Maybe it's something you just want to try out and see if there's interest in it first. It could be any number of subjects that you want to talk about or group dynamics that you'd like to engage in. For instance, we have a group that are doing the money shift for the first time as a group program and sort of using the Shift Your Spirits community on Facebook as a place to tag each other and discuss that and sort of lead an ongoing conversation that everybody else can observe. So if it's something that you've been thinking about doing like that for a while, instead of, you know, starting your own group and starting from scratch, there is a huge audience right here of exactly the kind of people that you want to reach. And if you, you know, want to run the idea by me or one of the other moderators just to get a thumbs up, by all means, you know, write us and let us know what you're thinking about. Or if you want to know what like would be a really good day to do something like that on, just send me a message and I'll let you know. I'd really love it if you guys were, you know, involved in sort of populating these little projects and doing them throughout the group. It's not, again, it's not all about me doing all these things and you watching. I really want this to be your group. So if you have an idea for something like that, that you think would be cool to try on social media and you want to experiment with it in this group, this is the perfect place for you to try that out. And, you know, if it's a big hit and lots of people are liking and commenting on it every week, maybe you do then decide to take that into another format or platform or make a focused list just for that, or a focused group, you know, on Facebook, just around whatever that concept might be. So I'm inviting you to do that, and I want you to feel encouraged to do that and think of this as a content laboratory, you know, where you can find a lot of collaborators and brainstorm some of the ideas that you'd like to test. We also have an opening for someone who might be interested in leading a group around the money shift starting in October. So I have a date for that. If you want to contact me for the new moon in October, we would like to do another money shift group. And again, I'm looking for you guys to take that over and run it. If you're interested in doing the money shift group, check out some of the posts by Jane Hodges and Liz Newman. They've been very cool and sharing some really vulnerable personal stuff as they work through that process. And I really love what they've done with it. And I would love for someone else to pick that up and do another round. This is a great place for you to find, you know, like-minded collaborators and co-authors. And I don't know, I always, you know, get requests from people who are working on something and they're interested in maybe finding an illustrator or a graphic designer that's interested in spiritual stuff. This is the kind of place that I hope will become a forum for that and a place where you could post about what you're working on and find some people who are interested in doing it. Also, you know, if you're interested in a particular service, if you're looking for someone who specializes in something, if you have an issue or you're trying to get a piece of advice, by all means, post it in there and see. I feel like with a number this size and growing, we ought to be able to answer just about anybody's request for help. If anyone does meet and fall in love in this group and get married, I definitely want to hear about that. I'm just putting it out there. It's happened to me in other environments before. So I like to think of myself as an indirect matchmaker. It may not all be romantic, but I have a feeling there are some creative partnerships brewing in this group. The personal introductions and stories that you guys have been sharing when you first enter the group is really terrific, super interesting. And the thing that's most fascinating to me and the moderators is we wondered about whether or not we should prompt you guys and ask you to introduce yourselves. And we decided it was a little bit too much putting people on the spot the minute that they show up. And the cool thing was, as soon as we decided, nah, we're not going to do that, everyone started instinctively doing it on their own. So that was really cool. There's going to be a link in the show notes going forward to the Facebook group. It's also on the podcast page on my website. Or if you're on Facebook right now, you can just search Shift Your Spirits Community and click join. We would love to have you there as a member. Oh, and I'm just going to put this out there. It was Amanda Young's suggestion. I think she's doing it on her podcast. And she suggested that I might do it on mine. And I did think it sounds fun. So I'm looking for somebody who might want to interview me on the podcast. Now, that's not on your podcast, which I'm also available to be on your podcast, but I'd really like for someone to interview me on my podcast. So you don't have to have one on your own. I think that this could be sort of just an amusing episode to turn the tables a little bit and let some of you who are out there listening who want to ask me questions to come on the show and kind of turn the mic over to you and let you quiz me, so to speak. It would help if you have like a focus topic that helps to make the show feel cohesive. So get in touch with me if you have a show idea that you'd like to do where you interview me on Shift Your Spirits. Before I forget, I do want to say a quick thank you to Michelle Lloyd, who said that she listened to Prolific AF, which was episode 72, and she totally boohooed, but in a good way. And then she finished a painting she'd set aside for 11 months. That just makes me so excited to think that something that I put out there helped another creative person to finish or produce or start a project. That just is magic. That means the world to me. Michelle does pet portraiture, which is really cool. You can find a link to her work in the promo thread that we do on Fridays in the Shift Your Spirits Facebook community. So keep your eye out for that. I also want to say thank you, as always, to all of you who continue to pledge your support on Patreon. It demonstrates that you're enjoying the show. You want this to continue. It's very encouraging to me, so thank you. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access a guided meditation called Messages from Your Spirit Guides, some exclusive bonus episodes, and there's also a mastery level of support where you can download one of my courses for free each month. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing this show, and access all the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. And now, the interview. Here's Dina DeCastro talking about how she first became interested in astrology.
So when I was young in the 70s, my parents were both kind of hippie, you know, bohemian, interested in all of that stuff. My dad actually read tarot cards, not for a living, but just as a hobby. And my mom had a close friend who was an astrologer, and they would sit at the dining room table and look at charts and dish on them. And I just was fascinated always. And I would, you know, browse the books in the bookshelf. I was kind of an early reader, so I would just kind of nerd out on all the astrology books that my parents had. And so I just immediately, you know, it came from somewhere. I have a feeling it came from a past life, probably. But this innate interest in astrology and the planets and even space and stars was something that was just there when I was very little. I would say starting at about 5. So I, you know, went on throughout my teenage years, read a lot of the usual books. You know, Linda Goodman's Sun Signs was one of those that I was like my Bible, you know, when I was in junior high. And I grew to be able to read charts more about late high school age, college age, and I would practice on my friends and family. And so it just grew, and it was always with me. Interesting side note, you know, during that time when I was about 8 or 9, my mom became a born again Christian. And so she eschewed all of that, you know, tarot, astrology, all of that was out. And it was looked at as, you know, she said it's the dark arts. I don't think she used that word. That's more of a Harry Potter term, essentially, you know, the dark arts. And it was forbidden in our house. And so I had to do it surreptitiously for a while. But then she eventually switched back and became more open to, I would say, early New Age ideas or occult ideas. So there was a few years in there where it was like on the sly, I had to, you know, do my astrology stuff. And then when I got into my late 20s, I had a friend of mine that suggested, you could do this for a living. I'm like, could I really? So I put out my shingle and started charging for readings when I was right at my Saturn return, which is, you know, 28, 29 years old, and have been doing that ever since.
Wow. So I have to ask you, you started way before we had computer software to do this stuff. So at what point in your career did the technology come in and play a part, or does it at all?
It did. Like in the 90s, there were ways that you could order charts on, you know, via the internet or mail order. That was kind of the way you did it. It was kind of funny. I learned to cast charts by hand in the late 90s. Finally, like I had always had charts given to me, you know, so that was how I did it in the early days, like in my teenage years, like somebody already had a chart and I'd look at it.
Right. So you're much more about the interpretation than the castings, even at that early age. Okay. Yeah. I can relate to that. That would be true for me as well. I never learned to cast a chart by hand, just for the record.
It takes so long. It really is an onerous process, and I know how to do it. I, you know, if you had me do it today, gosh, it's been maybe 18 years since I've actually cast a chart by hand. So it would be tricky, but it's good, I think, for astrologers to at least learn how to do at least once to get a sense of viscerally what's going on, because that's the thing with technology now is it detaches us from what the actual mechanics are of the solar system and the planets in relation to the Earth. And for some reason, when you learn to cast a chart, you get more of a sense of, okay, the ascendant, for example, the rising sign is the rising sign because that's what's actually rising on the eastern horizon. You know, so there's an example of that, that it's rooted to the physical world. But with software, we can forget that sometimes and it just becomes a piece of paper, you know, in front of us. It's like, you know, that's Venus, the glyph of Venus. But, oh, there's a Venus in the sky as well, right? So that's a difference. But I think for time and for efficiency, like you can't beat technology for sure.
No, definitely not. And I'm mostly just interested in, like, if somebody can give me a list of what their planets, you know, what their planets are in and what houses everything's in, like that's enough for me to work on.
Yeah.
I will say though that I love the natal chart graphic. Like the cool geometric thing. And I think everybody's a little bit in love with that, right? There's a mystique about it.
Certainly. Yeah, the glyphs, the symbols, they're very beautiful. You know, they're just aesthetically pleasing. And it looks like something, you know, from the Renaissance, or, you know, it just has that kind of ancient feel and it evokes that. So I do think there's the appeal of it. And I can... like you, you know, if I just know somebody's birthday and they don't even have a time, I can look in an ephemeris and see, oh, here's where all your planets were. Maybe, you know, excepting the moon because it moves very fast. But everything else, I can pretty much know that's where it was. Even with that, I can get so much information. But having the visual of the chart works better for me, you know, just being able to see it laid out.
That is so cool. I was very fascinated by that as a child. And I had an aunt in the 70s who was friends with Jean Dixon.
Do you
remember her?
Yeah, I do.
And she had, it's so funny when you were talking about your childhood experience of kind of going through the books in your parents' library. I used to go through her books when I would visit, and she lived in Florida. And when we would go down to visit, she had this library of, you know, 70s, new age, feminist, everything, you know. And some of her books were astrology books that were autographed by Jean Dixon. And I always thought that was like the most glamorous thing in the whole world, right?
Very, very glamorous, for sure. Yeah, she's probably one of the most famous astrologers, you know, at least from that era, if not, you know, she's a name that everybody knows.
Right. Yeah. And Linda Goodman's books. Yes, I remember those as well. So one of the things I'm really excited to talk to you about is kind of your niche of astrology, which is the connection between astrology and past lives, and also how the nodes play into that. So I'm just going karmic patterns in the chart. I just would love to open up the floor and hear you talk about these relationships.
Yeah, you know, I'll start by saying that when I started practicing astrology, which was the late, like, 1998-99, I really was doing the typical descriptive astrology. For example, your sun is in Aries, you are fiery, spontaneous, brash, and bold, you know, something like that. And that started to feel a little limiting to me. And so I was searching a few years into doing it, like around 2002, I started to search for what more, you know, can I learn? I just felt this impulse that I needed to find a different approach or another layer to my system. And so I went to an astrology conference here in the Northwest called NORWAC. It's the Northwest Astrology Conference. And Stephen Forrest was speaking there. And so he and Jeffrey Wolf Green are two astrologers that really founded this this school of thought within astrology called evolutionary astrology. And it's called evolutionary because it is based on the premise that our souls do reincarnate, and they move from lifetime to lifetime, learning lessons and evolving. You know, the intention is evolution. And with that, the nodes, south node represents the past life or karmic patterns, and north node represents what we are here to learn to become or to embrace. And the whole point of it is evolution. You know, the whole point of it is growth and change. And it made so much more sense to me than the idea that we're just static, you know, that we're born with this chart and that's just who we are for the rest of our lives. And the other main component, you know, or the foundational belief in this kind of astrology is the idea of free will, and that we make choices, you know, in our lifetimes that impact where we're going, the lessons we have to learn. And how we respond to those lessons with our free will really determines how we move along our path, you know, how we move toward our soul purpose. So this all resonated with me. I had always believed in reincarnation, you know, and it's one of those beliefs that you can't really explain. You know, it was a knowing, you know, I just felt a knowing about it. I will say that there, you know, it's not that there isn't proof for reincarnation. There's a lot of good case studies out there and proof for reincarnation. But it is one of those things that, you know, people take on faith, and some people have a strong reaction one way or the other to that idea. But reincarnation is very much inherent, you know, in this niche of astrology that I practice. It's a foundational piece of it. So that all being said, you know, I went to study with Stephen Forrest at his apprenticeship program. I did that for a few years and embraced this path within astrology because it really resonated with what I already had felt and believed for most of my life. And what it is that, you know, that I think this kind of astrology offers that's a little different to some branches is, you know, the south node, the karmic patterns can point out here are the things in the past life that you experienced and also that you that vexed you or that upset you or that were left unresolved at the time you left that life. And then when you came into this life as a soul, you carry some of that baggage with you. We call that karma. And that's a memory, an emotional memory of what went on, but we don't consciously remember that. And so in this life, our work is to learn to release those old patterns and not to get stuck in repeating those karmic situations. But we're inclined to want to do so because we tend as humans to want to repeat what we've done before and what's comfortable. Even if it's painful, you know, it can feel comfortable because it's familiar. So the North Node points to, well, what's the medicine for that? What can we do? You know, that's where free will comes in. What can we do in this life to pull ourselves out of those old stuck patterns of the past? And the North Node offers the medicine, the way for us to move away from staying stuck and stagnant, you know. And so remember that the key point is growth. The key point is evolution. And all of us, you know, if we're born, we have karma. If we're born, we're also a living thing that needs to grow and evolve. And if we stop doing that, and if we stagnate on a soul level, we feel unfulfilled and bored and unhappy. So when clients come to me, what they're often looking for is, you know, I'm kind of stuck, or I'm in a place in my life where I'm trying to make a transition and I feel like I'm scared and I can't. What's blocking me? Or they're just, you know, they have that general malaise, like, I just don't have the joy for life. I'm, you know, feeling like I'm not on my path, but I can't really figure out what to do to get on it or to get back to it. And so the nodes are very powerful to look at that and say, okay, well, here's what's in your way. Here's the karmic patterns of the past. Here is where you can get stuck very easily, repeating these patterns. And then here, the North Node is what you're here to learn and to embrace. And is the more that you move to that, even if it's scary, even if it feels challenging, which it will, the more you move toward that, the more you make choices in that direction, the more fulfillment and peace and joy for life you can gain back. So that's the overview, you know, of what, how I see it. Yeah.
So if I tell you what my North Node is, can you tell me, since I'm the one that's here talking to you, we'll use my chart as an example.
Absolutely.
I have a North Node in Pisces. What can you tell me about that?
Yes. Well, I can speak to that because so do I.
Oh, interesting.
So let me just say about that too, that the nodes go to a new sign about every year and a half. So you can know that if you're born within a, you know, a close time frame to someone, that you very likely have the same nodes. They're like these mini generations, you know, 1.5 years of the same. And that pattern repeats every 18, 19 years, you know, that they will come back around to the same nodes. So we have the same ones because I think we're both born in 69, right?
Yes, July 23rd.
Oh, gosh, same month. Oh, my goodness. So wow. I'm July 8th. Yeah.
Okay.
So I can speak to this pretty well. But just because we have the same nose doesn't mean like I know everything about this because I'm working with the same struggles, right?
Okay.
So if you have the North Node in Pisces, that means you have the South Node in Virgo. The nodes are always opposite signs to each other. They're always at 180 degrees. So once you know one, you can figure out the other. So that, you know, let's start with the past life karmic pattern for you, South Node in Virgo, is really attached in past lives to doing things perfectly, because you may have had a job or a position which required you to have a certain level of perfection in what you did. For example, being a doctor, like if you make a mistake being a doctor, something really disastrous could happen, right? Or even being an artist or a craftsperson, where you have to get all the details just right, or else it's just a big mess, or the people aren't going to like it, right? So there's this high level of perfectionism that was instilled in you in a past life. And the tendency with South Node in Virgo is to beat yourself up for every mistake, okay? It's just... that's the karmic baggage that comes into this life with you, is self-flagellation, tending to beat yourself up for every mistake, having higher standards for yourself than anyone else in your life. resonating much.
Yes.
Mercury, let's throw in a planetary ruler here. So Mercury rules Virgo, and Mercury is a planet of mind. So your intellectual abilities in this past life were, you know, over the top. Like, you probably had great powers of analysis and the ability to, you know, understand what's wrong in every situation and know how to fix it, right? And so you bring that into this life. Now, in a way, there are some gifts there too. It's not that the South Node is entirely negative. Like, we bring in past life gifts, and it's like, okay, you come in with those intellectual skills. You come in with that ability to do things almost perfectly. You know, you come in with that ability to analyze and fix situations. But if you stay there, in this life, and if you keep doing that and really go into that South Node territory, you will feel anxiety, and you will feel unfulfilled, and you will feel like I'm never getting to where I want to be, because I can't be perfect, right? Mm. None of us can be. So the fear with South Node in Virgo and North Node in Pisces is letting go of control. This is where we're starting to move toward Pisces, because Pisces, North Node in Pisces says, well, the medicine is to move toward the Pisces territory. Okay. So letting go of control, allowing yourself to make mistakes and have compassion for those mistakes, and trusting in something beyond yourself, like having faith that there are powers greater than we that are taking care of things, and that we don't have to take care of it all. We don't have to micromanage every aspect of our lives, right? So speaking as a co-person with this setup, I can say, like, this has guided me immensely in my life, knowing this, because, you know, and for you, you can speak to this as well. I'd love to hear what you have to say about it, that just knowing that I'm here to develop compassion for myself, and that I'm here learning to let more things go. I've been listening to your podcast, right? And I've heard you speak about like allowing yourself to make B pluses, you know, instead of, I'm like, perfect. You're right on track. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's
the need for self-acceptance in a radical way. Like, not just like, oh, I accept myself. You know, we can all say that from a head place, but the practice, the spiritual practice of self-compassion, self-acceptance, and actually being able to spot when you are holding yourself up to that too high standard, and then saying, okay, I've got to let that go. I've just got to let that go.
I have to give you some feedback around this, because, of course, my mentoring clients know how much I stress how important it is to get feedback from outside your own head about your readings. Yep. And so I just want everyone also listening to know how incredibly accurate that is for me. Just from that one little thing I told you, my North Node in Pisces, you were able to to really nail a lot of the issues that I have. Perfectionism, in particular with writing, is a constant. Like you said, it's both a gift and a curse. I have much higher standards for myself than I do for other people. The thing that was so liberating about blogging, 13 years ago or whatever it was when I first started doing it, was it relaxed the expectation for writing so much. It made it so accessible, and it made the feedback immediate, and it allowed me to really grow as a writer, because instead of going off and, you know, like you said, beating myself up and questioning myself and being alone in my own head bubble, you know, tearing myself to pieces and having this, you know, wizardly war with my own ego. and, you know, it's a hard creative process to live inside that. And so one of the things that's so interesting about why I feel like Shift Your Spirits is so successful out of all the other kinds of projects that I've written is because it had such a low expectation going in. And that's not to say that I don't, you know, put myself into it. I just have a real relaxed attitude about it that I don't about some other kinds of writing. I was like, oh, it's a blog. You know, and it's so funny, because that blogging allowed me to build an audience, to write for people, to have a lot of iterations. So, this week's kind of sucked. Next week might be amazing. And you start to notice these patterns as a perfectionist. The things that people respond to the most are not necessarily the things that you put the most effort into or the ones that are your favorites. Sometimes, you know, for example, The Money Shift is the best-selling piece of writing that I've ever put out into the world. And I did it in 3 days, and it was just merely, I just need to put this message out. I'm repeating myself here in my readings. Let's just put it in a little tutorial. And there's something about that lack of, you know, having high expectations that is extremely freeing. And, you know, I stress this for other writers as well, you know, put out a lot of work. I mean, the blogs and social media allow us to really develop our voice and to test what people are responding to. And at some point when you have an audience, the biggest liberation of all is having you guys to talk to and to write for. You know, I don't have to even, you know, I'm just feeding you guys, you know, your toast and scrambled eggs every day. You know, and there's something that feels liberating, and also as a perfectionist to be able to step back and to serve people, which I think may be getting to some of that Pisces energy that you're talking about. So not only turning it over to a higher power, but also realizing I am participating not just from my ego, but I'm participating on behalf of these thousands of people who want me to do it. And so it's a sense of duty and a sense of something bigger than me that I am both pulling from and also displaying to. Wonder, it's really cool. Interestingly, my mom has the same North Node. I do run across people here and there that share that, and interesting synchronicity that it would be you of all people.
I know.
Yeah. So that is an example of the kind of thing that people will get if they contact you for a session, right?
That's true. And yes, you can get such an amazing amount of information just from knowing the nodes. You know, just like you said at the beginning, we were talking about, knowing sun, moon, rising sign. We were talking earlier about that. That is a foundational piece, sun, moon, and rising sign. And you can get so much information just from those three pieces. And then same with the nodes. Like if I know just that, I tell that to people and they're like, oh my God, you just like spelled out my whole life.
Yes.
And so it's such a powerful tool. Now it's not a substitute for getting a full reading. And I want to say that because looking at the chart holistically will always give you the most depth of analysis and the most understanding. But having this piece as guidance is huge. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know that probably a lot of people listening do know a lot about their chart. They have had their chart done and stuff. And so one of the reasons why I really like, you know, what you just did for me, for example, is you went in and like focused on and embellished a very specific area. So it actually refreshes my excitement in my chart and knowing that, ooh, there's all these little things that I could still, you know, deep dive into that, you know, maybe I feel a little blasé about my chart. Now I'm like, oh, wow. You know, it does kind of rekindle an interest to have something that is connected to purpose. Because like yourself, that is a question that a lot of my clients come with as well.
Yes. And I think, you know, you feel excited because it's empowering. You know, this kind of information is empowering. That's one thing I aim to do with the kind of readings that I do, is to empower people with the tools to make good decisions for themselves and to take the reins of their own life and to make their free will choices. So that, you know, that's what this information provides you with. It's like, okay, I know I can move toward Pisces. I know sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes I'm going to resist it and want to stay stuck in the Virgo territory, the shadow Virgo, right? But I can choose differently.
How does that manifest for you personally? Like what, where does this Pisces Virgo duality kind of play out in your world? And how do you combat that or, you know, heal that?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is writing, for sure. And I'm a writer. You know, I've done a blog for a lot of years, astrology. I wrote some astrology articles for the Mountain Astrologer. I also began writing fiction. You know, I've taken a few stabs at it and, you know, failed attempts of novels, you know, over the past 15 years. And then recently I finally finished a first draft of a novel. And what I had to do during the process of that to get through it and to actually get it done and put it, you know, into actually get it to the place where I could pitch it at a writer's conference recently, which I did, was to constantly be talking to that Virgo part of myself by embodying the Pisces and say, no, you know, I hear you, inner critic. I hear that this isn't perfect. I hear that, you know, it sucks. I hear that, you know, all those voices. I had to label that Virgo, South Node Virgo voice as similar to how people use the inner critic, right? That, okay, you're the inner critic. I hear you. Go sit in the corner because I'm going to keep writing this book. And every day it was, I have to tell you, you know, it was a bit of a fight. Like a lot of parts of it were very intense and very challenging. But I brought in the Pisces consciously and said, okay, it's all good. You're doing great. No matter what you do, at least you're doing it. And what matters is that you like it. And what matters is that you have fun with it. And that's a very Piscean kind of like, hey, no big deal. Go with the flow. You know, it's that attitude.
I call this, it's so funny because I call that angel and devil, the flow drafting voice and the editor. And the flow drafting voice is the same channel that my intuition rides alongside. And so when you are in a first draft mode, you don't need the editor. It's like you come back later on a rewrite. You come back when we start to take it apart and do, you know, rewrites and edits and polishing and all that. You've got plenty of work to do. So sit down and shut up. Right now we're just flowing. You know, we're just we're just being a hippie chick here. That's that's how I kind of see that Pisces flow voice as being this kind of barefoot flowers in her hair creative type of energy, you know? So, oh gosh, we have a lot in common. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's probably because we're born in the same month. So
that is so interesting. And you know what? I don't meet a lot of people born, like I rarely meet July Leos at all. Because there's just not a lot of us. There's just that one little week. And then I don't meet a lot of people born the same year. I've heard that we are one of the smallest populations that's alive right now. But yeah, the Gen X population is really small compared to the boomers and then the ones that came after. We are greatly outnumbered.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, I think I feel that. And I know something about that little mini tribe of 1969 people, that there was quite a lot going on with the planets in that summer. They were all lining up, you know where that little traffic jam of planets is in your chart, I'm sure. And it's right on the South Node. So I'll speak to that real briefly here and say that in your chart, in individual's chart, I'm just speaking generally, those nodes can be interacting with any combination of planets. You know, that could be that the South Node is conjunct, meaning it's right on other planets in your chart, Jupiter, Pluto, what have you. And so that will also add layers to the interpretation that I would do in an individual reading to look at what is aspecting the nodes, you know, what planets are conjunct or square or, you know, mostly in hard aspects to the nodes is what I tend to look at. So that gives information to the story here. And I do draw a past life story. You know, I tell a story. Now, it's not a literal past life reading. And that's something I want to make clear, that I don't actually, you know, see if you were Benjamin Franklin in a past life, you know, that kind of thing. That's not what this is. It is more about general themes, but I do weave it into a story because storytelling is what I like to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a mode that works for people to try to understand something. So I'll say, you know, I'll give that caveat to somebody and say, okay, I'm going to tell you a story, and it's not a literal story, but it encapsulates an emotional truth or an emotional dynamic of what happened to you in a past life. And so that's how I approach, you know, reading that and then bringing in the other planets as they inform, you know, the South Node.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. So for someone maybe like myself who, you know, does work with astrology a little bit, you have a mentorship program where you work with people taking kind of astrology to the next level. Is that mm-hmm. something that you do with more professional type mindset? Tell me about the yes. mentorship program.
Yeah. So my mentorship program is to work one-on-one with those who want to learn more about astrology. It could be even a beginner that, you know, really just wants to use it for their own personal edification, for their own purposes. Most of the clients that I work with are either astrologers or somebody about on the verge to become a professional astrologer, and they're just a little hesitant about taking that leap. You know, they don't feel quite like they have all the, you know, there's some missing, or there's some missing pieces in what they know, or there's some insecurity there. And then there are also counselors, you know, therapists, psychologists, mm-hmm. you know, people who want to use this as part of their profession. And I've had a couple of those clients, and that's been really rewarding for me to work with those people. So I, you know, I teach the basics, but that's not what I really teach in the mentorship program. I more focus on, well, let's go into what do you feel are your missing pieces? You know, where do you feel there are gaps in your knowledge? And let's go into those. And then I also speak to things like, you know, how to become a professional astrologer. You know, what's the business end of it? What do I know from my experience about how to do this in a way that's going to be successful and in a way that is ethical? You know, so we talk about the things that will help them to make it a business if that's what they wish to do with it.
I'm really excited about this because it's in my professional and intuitive mentoring. I touch on astrology just in a very brief way, and like I said, I do tend to work with what I call sort of elemental astrology, which mm-hmm. is like, you know, the sacred elements, yeah. earth, air, fire, water, and I kind of speak symbolically to those dynamics. But people are often asking me about going deeper into the astrology component itself, and I always say to them, you know what, it needs its own course. Like I can't just sort of shoehorn that into a chapter or something. It's not going to happen. So right. I'm really excited to hear about what you do in that mentorship program, because it sounds like a lot of people listening right now are going to be excited about it. I know you make me want to be an astrologer now. Like, I'm like, I could do this, you know?
You could do it. Yeah. Well, you probably have a lot more experience than you even give yourself credit for. You know, if you've been doing it since you were a kid, I'm sure it's probably really in your bones.
Well, I have a hard time not using it. I have a hard time not speaking it. I mean, in my family, if you're dating someone, you know, you just say things like, oh, you know, well, he has a moon in Cancer. And they go, ah, you know, it's like five yeah. pages of information just went running through their head, you know. Yeah. So we do have a tendency to use it almost like a Jungian kind of analytical vocabulary, if you want to be yeah. kind of highbrow about it, which I do think that one of the attractions to me with astrology, it allows me to use that archetypal language that you also find in the tarot and yes. And that kind of thing. So I do play with that language a lot. I was considering no longer asking for birth data when I do my intuitive readings, because sometimes so many people don't know it and they get stressed that it's going to somehow impact their reading. And I'd kind of backed away from that, but this kind of makes me want to leave it in a little bit.
Yeah,
because it's you're making me really aware of how much I do love astrology and have always been interested in the nodes, because yeah. I have to tell you just really quickly, My mom, sometimes I'd get like a chart done for my birthday. And I think when I was about 15 years old, my mom had discovered this woman named Barbara Alexander, if she's still out there. And she was really excited to take me to Barbara because Barbara was also a clinical psychotherapist. She had degrees and, you know, and had a practice as a psychotherapist. And when you would go to her office, it was very, you know, academic and official and looked like what you imagine a psychologist's office would look like. And she recorded the session, which was something that I never had happen before. And she talked to me about the North Node in Pisces and was the first person to put that in mind, that the North Node was about kind of purpose. And and she also told me that my writing career would take off in my mid to late 30s, which was absolutely true.
That's on. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the same for you as well, if it worked out to be that same time period. But anyway, I'm curious to know, you know, what do you hope to contribute to the greater conversation about astrology? What would you kind of like your legacy to be around this subject?
Yeah, I guess one of the big kind of things I'd like to bust out there about misconceptions, you know, of astrology is that it's not fortune telling. It's not future prediction. And some people do use it that way. But what I want to contribute is the idea that astrology is a powerful tool for self-development, for self-understanding, and then also to give you the ability to choose what you do in your life, because you become more conscious of yourself and your patterns through this kind of awareness of the chart, through evolutionary astrology. Now, I'm not saying that evolutionary is the only path. You know, there are so many different kinds of astrology and so many different branches, as you'll know if you just go on the internet. But what I really want to impart is a more empowered, free will focused way of using astrology. And that's what I hope to contribute.
You have a free ebook people can download called Your Karmic Past and Your Life Purpose. Tell us about that.
Yes. So if you go to my website up in the upper right hand corner there, you'll see a little box that says exactly that. You know, if you subscribe, you get a free gift, Your Karmic Past and Your Life Purpose. Within that, there is a table where you can look up your birth date and you'll be able to find your node sign just by looking up your birth date. So it's, you know, really breaks it down very easily. I give some introductory information, you know, about the nodes, what they mean, what is karma. You know, I go more deeply into that topic. And then for each sign of the North Node, South Node combination, I lay out, you know, what is the karmic pattern? What are the big fears that block you? What is your growing edge? You know, meaning what are you here to learn? And then I also give some affirmations. So for example, for Pisces North Node, the affirmations are, I accept myself exactly as I am. You know, that one sounds a little Stuart Smalley, but that's okay. and, you know, I trust that I am taken care of within the greater order of things. And another one is, I go with the flow of life. So that's an example of kind of affirmations that can help that particular node, you know, combination, North Node, Pisces, South Node, Virgo. And then I, you know, at the end of that document, you'll find frequently asked questions about the nodes, you know, what about past lives? You know, does it mean, how can you see if I'm Benjamin Franklin in a past life, you know, that kind of information. Mm-hmm. And then finally, in that document, there are resources for further reading, if you want to read about really good books about reincarnation and evolutionary astrology listed there. So yeah, you can find that at my website.
Oh gosh, that's a great resource. Tell us where we can go to find you online.
So I'm at dinadecastro.com. So it's D-E-N-A-D-E-C-A-S-T-R-O.com. And I'm also on Facebook now. I just started back there after 9 years away. And actually, Slade, you are part of the reason that I came back to Facebook. I know. I really wanted to be part of your group. And there were a couple other groups, too, that I've just, you know, really wanted to participate in. And I want to also start a couple of groups there. So my Facebook is DeCastro Astrology. And you can find me that way, too.
Excellent. We'll put all those links in the show notes for everyone. And for those who join the Shift Your Spirits community, they will be able to go online and ask you questions. And we'll have a post featuring this this interview so you can interact and everyone can tag you and talk to you more about this subject. Dina, I'm so excited to meet you. This was such a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Slade, for having me. It was great.
Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message and answer to a question or a concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. Just try it. Don't keep thinking about whether or not you should, overanalyzing. Just take an action, even if it feels a little random. Intuition is fast, and you can't really get feedback on your instincts without taking action. If you take the wrong action, the universe, the environment, other people will let you know immediately. You might experience obstacles and resistance, bad results and negative reaction, but that's not the end of the world. That's useful information, and you can actually course correct pretty quickly. Do it. Do something. And I'll talk to you later.